Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Those words are still beautiful on our lips, aren't they? The joy that we've had since the setting of the sun on Saturday will continue as the church continues to celebrate something that cannot be contained in a single day, in a single weekend, but a celebration that continues for 50 days. The church rejoices because this Jesus who died is risen. And because he lives, we also shall live. When you give consideration to that first lesson given to us by the Holy Spirit through St. Luke, there is a lot of importance here. And I think that the context is very helpful. In the chapter of Acts, just before our first lesson for this evening, we see Peter preaching at Pentecost. We see as all of these people are gathered for that Old Testament feast of Pentecost, the New Testament feast of Pentecost replaces it. Now there will be a celebration of the Holy Spirit as he gives the apostles the ability to speak, and yet everyone hears it in their own tongues, their own languages. And Peter's sermon that day is absolutely beautiful. He cuts them to the heart with the very word of God, so much so that they cry out, "What must we do?" Peter tells them, "Repent and believe, every one of you, and be baptized." This promise is for you and your children and for those yet far off. The church gathers. The church grows. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. That is, Christians gather for worship. That's what it looks like to be a Christian. Can I say that I am a Christian and yet not gather where our Lord promises to be? I find it very difficult to believe that. Can I say that I am a believer in Jesus Christ and yet not go where he has commanded me to be? I have a hard time believing that as well. What does the life of a Christian look like? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in the prayers. That is a worship service. That is the divine liturgy. That is coming together to hear the teaching of what Jesus Christ has done, hearing the law that cuts to the heart, hearing the gospel which brings back to life, devoting ourselves to the sacraments, the breaking of bread, being Holy Communion. That's what the life of a Christian looks like. After that, Peter and John continue. Another day they gather, and Peter is led by the Holy Spirit to preach some more here at Solomon's portico. And as he preaches, we get our first lesson for tonight. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at these healings done in the name of Jesus? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. If you gathered here on Sunday, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you heard the passion story from all four Gospels. You heard how Pilate was willing to let Jesus go, but they cried out all the more, "If you do not crucify him, you are not Caesar's friend." And then they had the bold-faced lie to say, "We have no king but Caesar," full well knowing they wanted no Caesar. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this is the God of their fathers, and because of faith in Jesus Christ, the God of our fathers as well. Pilate is not completely innocent even when he tries to wash his hands of the situation. There is guilt upon him too. But his authority that day comes from on high. For this is exactly what God the Father had planned to save the rest of mankind. But give consideration to the next verse, and I think that this applies very well to what I've said. You denied the Holy One and the just. You asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. His name, through faith in his name, has made all things well. I want you to give consideration to what it looks like to God when we choose not to devote ourselves to the teachings, to what the apostles preached, that is, Christ crucified. What it looks like when we reject that fellowship, when we reject the importance of gathering often to receive the body and blood of Jesus, which gives the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. What does it look like when we choose to watch or gather around a murderer? Or whatever it is that we choose. Because in essence, when the church gathers around Jesus Christ to devote themselves to the teachings of the apostles, that is simply the word of God, to the breaking of bread, to the liturgy, to the prayers, when we make other choices, it is as if we are choosing Barabbas. We are choosing a murderer over receiving what our Lord has given us. I see your faces almost week after week. So you could easily say, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. Some of you literally are in that choir. But you have family members. You have loved ones who do not hear these words. When you truly love them, you share that word with them. You tell them how important it is that they devote themselves to the things that you have hope in. Why do you gather week after week? It's because you receive Jesus. It's because you have a place outside of the world where, yes, you are reminded of your sins, but you are reminded of what your God did for you. You have loved ones and friends that are wallowing in their own self-pity. They believe that whatever they're doing week after week is more important than gathering. God has placed you in their lives to tell them the truth. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. There was a time where we could claim ignorance. There was a time when we could say we didn't know better. We didn't understand the importance of gathering. We didn't understand the importance of this body and blood of Jesus that the church gathers around. We didn't understand why we are devoted to the one who first loved us, even in our wretched and disgusting state. That's the Jesus whom we serve. That's the Jesus whom we worship, even when it's less than 20 gathered. We are to devote ourselves to these things. Free yourselves and your loved ones from the ignorance. Let them know what God's word teaches. If you refuse to gather, oftentimes, weeks will turn into months. Months will turn into years. The spiritual damage that is done in that is great. And unless it is repented of, just as proclaimed here, it will lead to eternal damnation. Jesus Christ is still present right now. Jesus Christ has given all of us the opportunity to repent of our sins and to hear his grace and to gather. but those days are fleeting. There will come a time when that grace closes, when that door closes, either in our death or in the coming of Jesus. Now, this very evening is the time to repent and to return. Now is the time to tell your people whom you love how much they mean to you and how much Jesus means to you. To tell them the importance of repenting and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Briefly looking at our gospel lesson, give consideration to what happens after this great catch of fish. This is the third time, St. John writes, that they have now seen the resurrected Lord. And this is the time where he provides for them such a great catch of fish and feeds them once again. Right after our gospel lesson ends for tonight, we see what Jesus does for Peter. Right after those words, verse 14, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The very next verse shows us that our Lord forgives sins. It is not yet too late. Remember when Jesus told Peter, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice." Peter denied it so vehemently, "Lord, I would rather die with you than ever deny you." And yet he did exactly what our Lord said he would do. And as he did it the third time, even casting down a curse, the cock crew and Jesus looked upon him. But here in the verses right after our gospel lesson for tonight, we hear these words. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Thrice denied, thrice forgiven and restored. Our Lord causes Peter to confess, and he gives him the forgiveness of sins. It was not too late for the man who promised Jesus he would rather die than deny him, and then denied him not once, not twice, but three times. It is still time for your loved ones, for your neighbors, for your friends. God has placed you for such a time as this. The church sings, "Jesus lives, and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense, 'Jesus is my confidence.'" Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.